read it, but it was 3 weeks ago now.
I know.
I wasn't going to reread it.
I didn't really know how to answer that. Okay.
Welcome everybody to Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. Would you please stand and join me and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This meeting of the Josephine County Planning Commission will be conducted in accordance to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules found in Article 31 of the Josephine County Rural Land Development Code and Section 197.763 of the Oregon Revised Statutes, which govern the conduct of all public hearings. A summary of the rules as follows.
The planning staff will identify and explain the criteria and standards applicable to this application request. Testimony and evidence is to be directed to the criteria and standards. If you feel other criteria or standards apply and are not identified, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. If the chair rules that additional standards apply, then testimony and evidence may be directed to them. Clearly raise and explain your issues in this hearing in order to be understood by the commission. Before conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request a continuance to submit new evidence or testimony. The commission must decide to either grant the continuance or keep the record open. In either case, the period of time must be at least 7 days. During the time of the open record, anyone may submit additional written testimony or evidence. All persons testifying are considered a witness unless the person asked to be recognized as a party and the chair rules the person has party status. Party status is established in three ways. One, anyone who receives official mailed notice and testifies orally or in writing in this hearing. Two, Anyone who testifies orally or in writing in this hearing who did not receive an official mailed notice but establishes the use or enjoyment of their property is adversely affected by impacts from this proposed use or development that is different from the public at large. And three, someone who is aggrieved by an adverse decision, the chair will wait until you finish testifying to make a rule on your party status. Participants are obliged to know and follow rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. The first item on the agenda is 3.1, request for a 5-lot PUD subdivision to be known as Riverwalk. This request will create 5 lots for residential development ranging in size from 2.01 acres to 2.81 acres with 3.12 acres of common area and includes a new private street to serve as access for the PUD. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the commission to hear this matter? There being none, does any member of the commission wish to abstain from this matter? There being none, Jefferson County Rural Land Development Code sets time limits for testimony. I have the time limits here. There's only a couple people, so I think we'll probably be okay, and I'll call you on the time if we need to. At the close of the hearing, a decision shall be made in the form of findings with the presiding officer of the hearing body designating who shall prepare the findings. The criteria for the decision in this hearing shall be presented by the planning staff as part of the staff report. Veronica's doing it tonight. Veronica, please give the staff report.
Good evening. My name is Veronica Brown. I am an associate planner with the Josephine County Planning Department. We are here tonight to discuss a proposed plan unit development subdivision to be known as Riverwalk. The property owners and applicants are Robert and Linda Mannheim, sorry if I say that wrong. The representative for the project is Justin Gerlitz of Gerlitz Engineering Consultants. The applicant is seeking tentative approval for their request to subdivide the property into 5 lots for residential development ranging in size from 2.01 acres to 2.81 acres with 3.12 acres of common area and includes a new private street to serve as access for the PUD. Exhibit A in your staff report contains a copy of the tentative plan map. The properties are zoned rural residential, RR5, with a 2.0 acre lot size minimum. The total acreage for the project is 15.57 acres per the tentative plan. Per assessor's records, the property is developed with a single-family dwelling and accessory structures. The statutory 150-day timeline expires on January 7th, 2023, which means that we have to have this decision and all appeals completed by that date. Tonight's review procedure, per the Josephine County Code section listed on your screen, states that the Planning Commission shall have the authority to approve plans for PUD subdivision, including specific departures from certain development standards and zoning requirements, in order to accomplish the purpose of this chapter. Background information on the application history for this project. A pre-application for a PUD was completed on March 3rd, 2022. A full application for a 5-lot PUD was received on July 11th, 2022, and was deemed complete on August 10th, 2022, which then started the 150-day timeline. Here is a map of the property location, which also depicts the flood hazard overlay on the property. Here is a map of the zoning of surrounding areas. The property abuts private residential lands on all sides. Here is a 2021 aerial map of the property and the surrounding areas. This USGS map is used to identify steep slopes. There are no slopes in excess of 15% on the property. These are the applicable code sections that are used to reach a decision on this application. I will briefly discuss each section. Tentative plan standards. We look at whether the property is a legal authorized lot, is the land under one ownership, does the proposal present plans regarding flood, wildfire, and erosion hazards, and other development standards. The tentative plan criteria is regarding infrastructure, utilities, and carrying capacity. Carrying capacity is the big one in this section in regards to access, water, and septic. Can the land support the proposed development? Additionally, under carrying capacity, water standard requirements of Chapter 19.84 require new construction of a planned unit development to successfully complete a major pump test or a minor pump test for 3 units as a condition of final platting. The applicant has proposed a major pump test per their application materials, which are contained in Exhibit A of your staff report. The Planning Commission shall determine the type of pump test to be required. I'd also like to note that if approved, condition number 5 on the recommended conditions of approval will need to be updated to reflect the Commission's decision on pump test requirements. Specifically pertaining to PUDs, there are 5 categories of departures from standards for development that the Planning Commission may approve, such as dimensional standards, access standards for private streets, mixed uses, phasing, and extend the permit life beyond the 4-year maximum. This section also states the 5 areas where the Planning Commission may not depart. These 5 categories are listed here and also on page 8 of your staff report. This section addresses the special review standards that pertain only to PUDs, such as standards for water testing, open space, private streets, density requirements, and maximum number of lots, just to name a few. This section is special review criteria for PUDs, which includes demonstrating adequate carrying capacity, street and overall design of the project, no adverse impacts to adjacent lands, and protection of farm and forest practices on nearby lands. The applicant has addressed these special standards and criteria in their application submittal, which is Exhibit A of your staff report. This section lists the tentative plan requirements for PUDs in addition to the standard requirements for all tentative plans. The applicant and his representative submitted a tentative plan that has satisfied these requirements. This section discusses the management of common areas and their requirement to establish a nonprofit corporation to maintain and manage these common areas. The applicant will also be required to record restrictive covenants, or CCNRs, to be filed simultaneously with the final plat. No written comments were received during the public comment period. Staff received agency comments from Josephine County Public Works and Department of State Lands, attached as Exhibit B and C of your staff report. At that, staff would like to recommend that Riverwalk Planned Unit Development Subdivision be approved with the proposed conditions listed in Exhibit D of your staff report. Staff also recommends the commission assign the findings of fact to the applicant and their representative to prepare. I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Anyone have questions of staff? No questions, thank you. Mr. Gerlitz?
Evening, Commissioners. Justin Gerlitz, Gerlitz Engineering Consultants, here on behalf of the applicant tonight for the Riverwalk Planned Community, or PUD. I'll try to go quick on the stuff that's kind of duplicated here, but this is the location of the property, just north of South River Road and south of the Rogue River, out in the Redwood area. These are some kind of 3D views, Google Maps, and this kind of shows the property there. And you can see the long driveway. Let's see here. This is the existing home on the property, and this is the driveway that comes back out to South River Road as of right now. I know I probably should point backwards for everybody here. So there's the driveway right there and the existing home. There was an existing, the property owner actually owned this property and this property originally, and I'll get into this, some of the details and the easements that we have across the frontage of this property here. See the Rogue River here? This is looking back towards the south. This is just a different view. There is a drainage that kind of runs through the edge of the property over here, which is represented by those trees there. And then there's a big stand of trees down on the river by the gravel bar. This is the entrance to the property. So this is the existing driveway with the existing house there, the neighbor's house here to the west. This is looking to the east on South River Road. And this is looking to the west on South River Road. This is the intersection right here at Darniel, where it comes into South River Road right now. So the intersections almost line up with one another, which is always ideal. This is a diagram of the tentative plat. The yellow there is representing the overall property line. You can see that you've got this large kind of flat area up top, which is where we're proposing most of the homes. And then it drops down onto the river here. So this is kind of drops down the bank, and then you've got a large gravel bar here at the bottom, and that's going to be our common area that we're proposing. The reason we went through a PUD process for this project is that we have that large common area, we've got floodplain in all of that common area, and then we also have that drainage that runs here kind of through the corner of the property, which actually has a small portion of floodplain on it. So that way we were able to consolidate all the homes into one usable area, and use and maintain those natural areas and the riparian areas along the river and that drainage channel. As shown, the zoning around this is all the same. You've got RR1, and then down there across the south side of South River Road, you have RR5, so it's all surrounded by similar zoning. As shown on the tentative plan, this is just kind of a summary of the lot. You've got a 15.57 acre lot. Talks about the soil type, single family use that's proposed on it and existing on it. This is a summary of the total acreage on the property. So you could see there that out of the 15.57 acre total, 11.89 is going to be used for the actual lots. The private street will be dedicated as a common open space at just over a half an acre. And then the recreational open space is just over 3 acres, and that's all isolated down there on the river. And I know one of the things that with open space that is always mentioned is it usable? And in this case, we don't have any steep slopes. We have a slight slope down to the river channel. And then most of this open space is actually very, very level and usable down on the riverbank. So it's going to make it a real nice feature for the development. This is, as required, we have to, because this is granitic soil, we have to put together a home site and erosion control plan. So here we've kind of shown hypothetical home locations within these lots. Erosion control features, hammerhead turnarounds for emergency access on the actual driveways. And then the 50-foot fire safety buffer is also shown on there around each home. You can see that they're all contained within the lots themselves. As mentioned, prior to the previous owner selling the lot to the south, which is this parcel shown in this drawing, we were able to create an easement, one for public utility easement, which is the outer line there, kind of that 10-foot strip that comes across there and across the frontage of South River Road. And then second to that, there's a small easement right here, and that is for future roadway access. And the reason that was created is to allow us to create a two-lane approach at South River Road. The private street itself will be a single lane with turnouts, but that two-lane approach is something that Public Works requires. So that was all something that was established quite a while ago. Regarding carrying capacity, this is one of those areas in Red River area where we actually have public sewer. So the whole site will be served with public sewer, no septic tanks, and no systems. And then on the wells, we have two existing wells, both which were pump tested, or one was pump tested and one was air tested. And they were also water quality tested. And between those two wells, you can see there we have 12.25 gallons and 16 gallons a minute. So adequate water in the area, and the developer plans to install additional wells, one for each lot, when it's all said and done. Overall, we feel that this project is a real good fit for this area. I mean, obviously, it's surrounded by very, very similar residential development. This is just one of the last large pieces of land that's actually on the riverbank in this area. We're trying to keep that, you know, the density does not exceed the allowed zoning that's on it. It's actually above that because of the RR1, and we can only go down to 2 acres minimum nowadays. And with that common area and the dedication of that open space, we're going to maintain the riparian buffer and the natural areas, both for people that enjoy the river and for the residents of the neighborhood. With that, we ask that you approve the Riverwalk Planned Community tonight, and happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions from the commission? Justin?
Justin, you said that the common area is pretty usable. It's pretty flat down there. There's a gravel bar.
Yes.
Are there any proposed uses down there?
We don't have anything proposed right now. It's just common use area. Okay. We're not proposing any structures or anything. Okay. It's all within the floodway primarily. So
yeah, that was my next question.
It limits the ability to actually construct features down there, but there is going to be a trail, a common easement down there for the residents so they can enjoy it.
And then are there any issues that were identified with the offset between Darnielle and this access?
No, they're essentially, when we widen that road to 2 lanes, it's going to push it even closer to Darnielle.
Okay.
So the offset's very, very minimal.
This is probably low traffic off of this one here, too. So, okay. Thank you.
I have a quick question, and it might just be completely silly, but how will the other residents get access to the common area?
There's going to be, things shut off now. There's actually going to be a proposed little easement. Right now, we're proposing it along the southeast lot. I can't remember what number that is without looking at it here, but it was mentioned in the lot four. It was mentioned in the tentative plan.
Okay, that there's actually going to be a trail to the common.
Correct, like an actual physical easement and pedestrian trail down there.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Jeff? Nothing? Thank you, Ms. Skirlitz.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a Zoom question. You'll have to read it to us.
I'll see if they can.
Okay. Patience while he works his magic and see if he can get some through.
M. Fulton,
you
can go ahead and speak now.
Hi. Yes, I am the neighbor. Can you hear me?
Yes, we need your name and phone number, please, or name and address for the record.
My name is Marilyn Fulton. I am the direct neighbor who the road is going to be widened in front of. I am his direct neighbor, 3134 South River Road. And this road will go past my house, and I have not heard how he intends to enlarge this road without affecting my property. Right now, it's a one-lane road.
So this is Justin. There will be an impact to the frontage of the property within that easement. We are going to limit that to the minimum amount possible. Right now, that road, I believe, is around 12 feet wide. The new road will be 22 feet wide at the end where it meets South River Road. And
how does he plan to get this property to enlarge? Is he going to take out the median that divides my property from the road next to it and the neighbor?
This is the property. I don't know is it possible to put the slideshow back up? Yes, correct. So that's the existing property right now. To the left side of that picture is where it's going to be widened for the first 50 feet, and then it will taper back to the existing width that's there right now.
I believe that's my property.
Yes. So you're the property owner to the left of the driveway there?
Yes.
So there was prior to you purchasing it, the previous owner dedicated an easement for roadway purposes in that section right there, in addition to an additional utility easement beyond that, which we may or may not need on the utility easement portion. But the roadway will have to be widened into that easement for that first 50 feet of the road.
I have a fence there. I have a 6-foot fence.
And we'll work with you on adjusting those things and relocating the requirements to get the road in there, you know, things that are on your property in that area.
Is he going to enlarge it to the right side? Because as you go past that initial area that you say you're going to widen, beyond those two pillars there, there's a median that with bushes that divides the front of my house from the neighbors and that road to the right. Is he planning to get rid of that?
No, the median on the right side of that picture right there is going to remain. It's actually part of the neighbor's property to the north. It's actually a long, skinny piece of land that runs all the way from South River Road back to the back house, back in that area.
So that will not be touched. And you're saying that just this front part up to those pillars is what's going to be enlarged. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it might go a little bit beyond the pillars. I'll go back to another drawing here just for clarification. It's a little hard to see, but down there, as you could see, gray area, the shaded gray area, is what represents where the pavement's going to be. If you look down at South River Road, you have to zoom in on your computer probably to see it, but you can see there it's wider at South River Road, the gray area, and then it tapers back to the narrower width as you get further from the road, generally in the area of those pillars, but I think that the taper aspect goes a little bit beyond them.
Okay, so it's not going to impact my part of my property where I have my fences and all that, and it's not going to come up. I mean, cars will not come up to my fence.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where the fence is here when staring at the picture, but yes, it will. In effect, it will taper back to the existing width, more or less. It'll be that beginning part up by the road that will need to be widened.
Just the beginning. All right. Well, I appreciate your explaining that to me because I had no idea how this was going to work.
You're very welcome. And if you want to leave your contact information with the county tonight, I'm happy to contact you to discuss it as we get into the design of it.
Okay. If you can tell me how to do that. I'm afraid I'm recovering from COVID right now, so that's why I'm not there.
You can just go ahead and... there's actually not a way for her to type in, unfortunately, but I can take your phone number over this meeting right now and pass that along to the planning department and to the developer so that they can contact you if you're all right with that. Otherwise, you can also just email us and at, let's see, what would be the best email for her to send to? Planning at just, okay. You can also just email planning, PLANNING, at josephinecounty.gov. And somebody there will be able to take your contact info and pass that along to the developer as well.
Okay. Well, I have a neighbor there that can give you my telephone number if that's all right with you.
That works perfectly.
Okay.
We're just trying not to put it out there in the general public.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'd rather not do that myself.
All right. The neighbor can give it. That'd be fine. We'll ask them to do so.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else on Zoom? Okay, nobody else with a hand raised. So we have two people that have requested to speak. Casey Wright. He didn't tag whether he wants neutral for or against or anything, so you've got five.
I did have a question about the point that was brought up by the resident.
Okay, Justin, would you?
I'm sorry, I should have said something. Hi, Justin. The area that she was speaking about, you said that it was a the prior owner of that lot had set aside a permanent easement, and so this proposed widening is within that entire easement, or does it encroach on her property at all?
No, the easement is on her property. It's an easement on within the boundary of her property. So, but it will not encroach beyond the allotted easement that was established on the property.
Okay.
And we will work with her to minimize any impacts to the property. And you know,
I think that was her concern. Thank you.
It's an important thing especially for those watching, that if you have an easement, that can be used whether you like it to be used or not. It's part of the process, and the landowner gave that authority and signed that away. I've had it happen to me, so it is what it is, and you can't change it, but certainly I know Mr. Gerlitz is easy to work with and that she can have a conversation and they will work it out. So
absolutely.
I have faith in that. All right, Casey, shall we try again? Name and address, please.
Casey Wright, 3106 South River Road. We're the neighbors to the north, directly to the north. A couple questions, one of which was already answered. Mr. Gerlich answered that about the median. That was clarified, so I don't have that question. One of the additional questions I have is in regards to the longevity of water use management. And I know the proposed wells have passed, and I support that. I think that's great that they passed, and they're proceeding on with the plan development. But I guess what I have a question is to the Josephine County planters. As we go forward and you're approving rural residential properties, what happens if wells run dry? And is there a long-term water management plan as we see what's happening in California and water use and with short-term water planning? Is there a plan as you continue to approve?
I am not aware there's a specific plan, but the state of Oregon does have a water right, and everything bases off that water right. And if, I'll just use my water rights back from 1924. So if the guy builds next door and he sucks my well dry, I can shut him down by having an older water right. So I've got one of the earliest ones around. I don't think that's gonna be an issue on the river. Somewhere, certainly Merlin or other places, absolutely, that could go crazy. But the state law, and anyone will feel free to jump in if they think I'm wrong, but the state law, you have to prove that they've done something that affected you in order to have a response. So you can't just sit there and whine, well, he did something and there's another straw in the water and now I'm low. Doesn't mean anything. You have to have some factual evidence or something to back it up. And that's not us and the commission saying that. That's the law.
The state of Oregon. Yeah. Okay, thanks for addressing that. In addition to that, in regards to the proposed lot number 5, we have an easement through that back driveway to access our property. And I just am curious as to the, there's a main central driveway coming down, as you've seen, as Mr. Ehrlich showed in his illustration. Who can access that easement? Is it strictly only lot number 5? Because there's an additional driveway, gravel driveway easement at the moment. Going forward, who legally can access that lot in addition to us? I'm not sure. That's just a question.
We'll let Mr. Gerlitz answer that.
Yeah, I think right now the intention is for all lots to primarily front off the new road. But the county, especially with fire danger, likes to keep linked areas like that that are already in existence in place. Right now, I think the only person that would have any access to that would be lot 5. But again, primary access is going to be off this new paved road down the center of the project.
Excellent.
Yeah, we have a thing in the county. It's anytime you can have an escape.
Oh, yeah.
So one road in, if you got another road out, we're not going to make it go away. It will stay.
I absolutely support that. I was just curious. Thinking that, later on there'll be 5 houses, and just wanted curiosity as to who could access that.
Okay. Got your answer?
Thank you.
Thank you. Nicole, was that Nicole Kraft? Would you please name and address?
3106 South River Road.
I know, it's got to be for the record, though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm speaking on behalf of my family who own the property at 3106. We're tax lot 3900. We border the planned unit development to the east and to the north. And specifically, lot 5 will border us to the south, and lot 4 will border us to the west. So I'm just going to read up what I wrote down so I don't forget anything. So we moved to our property because we appreciate how quiet and beautiful it is in that area, and we wanted to be outside of the city limits for the quiet and peace that it brings there. I know that most people probably don't enjoy development going up around their property, but we understand that it's inevitable, and so we support it and accept it. But we do have some concerns. Our primary concerns are privacy, quiet, respect for our reciprocal access easement that Casey just brought up, long-term management of a healthy water table, and that the riparian habitat along the river, their common area is what they're calling it, is supported and maintained for health and resilience as it protects us all from potential flood hazard and provides amazing habitat for riparian wildlife such as owls, hawks, eagles, river otter, and even a resident beaver. And so I am curious what they are planning on developing down there. It sounds like there's not much they can do, but I would be curious more about that. So first and foremost, we take issue with the proposed pedestrian access pathway located adjacent our property boundary to the west. This is the pathway that he was referring to that lets people go down to the common area from the lots. So this is noted as number 20 on their preliminary site map. There are several reasons we are concerned with this and how it will affect us. We greatly value our privacy and quiet, as I stated, and we spend a lot of time outside enjoying nature and gardening. So this proposed pathway will not only be utilized by 5 different homeowners and their families, but also their guests, potential neighbors and friends, and other unknown individuals, in addition to all of their pets. And so this is a lot of traffic and people coming and going right alongside our property. We have dogs that bark at people and other dogs that they don't know. So it would be pretty life-changing for us to have that going on regularly. And also, my husband Casey works nights as an ICU nurse, and he needs to sleep during the day. We just don't want to live next to a sidewalk. And looking at the site map, there are seemingly several options, other options for the location of the community path, and it would make more sense to place it within the community rather than along our fence line. For example, between lots 3 and 4 or 2 and 3, and I'm sure there are other additional viable options. We already deal with a lot of unknown people walking and driving down our private drive, which has been shown in the maps. It's the one beside the median. So it is a private road, but we do get a lot of traffic and people coming to look for river spots and such, even with signs up. So we're just concerned for our privacy and for quiet. As for other concerns, a couple of them were already mentioned. The tentative PUD submittal narrative addresses the reciprocal access easement and the preservation of native riparian habitat in the common space. And in Exhibit D, statement of intended water use, it appears that water rights will not be used, although the previous owner used her irrigation rights to help maintain her well. I'm just wondering if irrigation rights will be kept and utilized to help maintain the water table in the long term. Casey brought up some of those water questions and water issues. I guess a question to your response to him, what would be examples of proof that someone else affected your water supply, what would be ways that you could show that to the state?
You'd have to have a well person come out and do a well test.
So just repeated well tests over the course of time, and if you just showed a receding water table or standing water?
I don't know what the actual breakdown is. I cannot give that to you. You'd have to go to the state and ask them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I know we deal with it in the Planning Commission all the time. Every time somebody's building a house, well, they're going to stick a straw in our tank and how it's going to drain us. But for us, our rules is you have to have presented evidence that says that's happened. Now, if that,
yeah,
we can go full bore if we have that evidence in front of us, but we can't just go on a hunch, hypothetical. That's what I was looking for.
Well, it's the concern is a little more than just like more straws in the ground. It's also that the previous owner used the flood irrigation and used her water rights for all of those years leading up to their well tests that have just been done, and they haven't been used since. So my question is kind of twofold. Are they planning on using the water rights to further irrigate in the long term as it's been done, and how that might affect well tests going forward?
Okay, I will ask that question.
Okay.
When you're done.
And I think that about does it. I think that's it.
Thank you very much. You want to address the, sure, if you can? Sure, you got the microphone. Just state your name so we know who it is.
Justin Gerlitz. Thanks for sharing your concerns. I'll try to address what I can here for you. When it comes to the wells, we are going to maintain the irrigation. Don't know that it'll be used to the full extent that it was now on a large field. It'll be used in smaller scale, but that will be there. Usually, as mentioned by one of the commissioners, usually when we have wells next to the real river, they typically are supplemented by the river and the groundwater from the river. So that's always a positive in those situations when you have multiple wells in one area. When it comes to the riparian area, as mentioned, we're going to be maintaining that we have to maintain that per the state rules because it is a riparian area. It isn't a floodway and a floodplain. That's typically involves thinning of non-native plants like blackberries, maintaining healthy trees, limbing things so they're healthy. But that's why we don't have anything planned down there in that area because we actually don't have the ability to build structures or decks or things like that in that floodway. The pathway location, that's the location that we picked based on the grade going down the hill. It's really intended only for the back two lots to access it because the other lots themselves will be on the river and can have their own paths kind of zigzagging down the hill. We definitely can look and see if there's any other alternatives, but I think that was one of our primary reasons it went there is just due to trying to have a grade that went down the bank that was reasonable for people to walk down. And then when it comes to the wells, we have to do well test, water quality tests, and pump tests, which we've done on one of the two wells already as part of the development. So that's usually a more intensive test versus just a normal air test in a well to kind of show how it interacts with the groundwater table.
Come back to the podium. I'll let you.
Pathway. In the paperwork for the development, it doesn't say anything about just those two lots having access. There's actually an access easement proposed, and I would think that it would be for the whole community. So I would be curious how you could control that. And there's also there's a ditch back there that infrastructure would have to be built for someone to be able to walk over that on a path. So I'm also curious about that because, as far as I know, you're not supposed to build over the seasonal ditch.
On that, I think that's an irrigation ditch back there. So you could put in the ditch itself, you could put a pipe across it without building a bridge. You wouldn't be able to build a bridge or like an elevated bridge or anything like that. We in our application, you are correct. We just said there would be a pedestrian easement, but what we were referencing is the fact that all the three of the river lots are on the river frontage, so it's likely and normal for most people to have their own path down to those areas. But again, I'm happy to evaluate if there's any other options on the property that would work for the whole neighborhood. I just can't answer that today without having the data in front of me.
Sure.
All right, if you could give her a card or make sure she can get a hold of you next week. Casey, if you, I'll allow you one more question.
It's just a follow-up to this topic. Yeah, just to reemphasize, this is the primary concern of us. This is above most all things. Everything else we have appreciated have been addressed. We feel, I feel like there's resolve on every topic. This is the one that I don't feel like the county commissioners have a good grasp on what that area looks like down there. It's all, even though, yes, there's an irrigation ditch, it's all riparian zone, and it's actually below, if not at the level that the common area is. And so I know that if you can't build structures there, my inkling is that you couldn't build a structure that would be addition for a walkway, and that it goes to the Circle Drive, which means that anyone that drives in there could see and or access that pathway, which is our concern, that friends of friends, it's very common when you have riverfront property to extend that offer to extended friends and family. And that's a big concern for us, people pulling into the Circle Drive, walking down that path, and really exposing us to an exponential unknown number of people accessing the river from that centrally shared location. In addition, there is already a grade of a paved road on the adjacent lot that goes down to the river that's wide and also has that bypasses that irrigation ditch. It's not only a irrigation ditch, it's also a wet weather creek. So it's not just an irrigation ditch. If you go there in the wintertime and it's raining, it's flowing. So it's an additional wet weather creek. So it's just a big concern, and I'm not sure if we can not just have, if we could have a ruling on it or a reconsideration from the county commissioners, which is what we understood that could be if a topic was raised, that you guys could also have a say in addition to the engineering. I mean, I'm not against a path. I just don't see why a shared path couldn't be shared by their community and not impact a neighbor when it doesn't need to impact us. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff or anything before we bring it back to us? Okay, I'll close it for the public record, and no more questions from the public, and we will discuss it up here at the dais. Jeff, I'll let you go first.
I don't think that the impact is going to be near the level. I understand it's a concern. I live on property, so I'm very grateful for the space I have, and but I really think it's a concern that may not carry as much weight as you're giving it. That's how I see it. And yeah, there's going to be some traffic along. I did have a question about the width and the surface of the proposed path. Is it just going to be a natural path? Is it going to be a paved path? Is it going to be cement? You know, so that's also something that was on my mind. But as far as the traffic, maybe a consideration can be made for some kind of a privacy fence in the as part of the approval. I don't know. That's what my thoughts are.
Justin?
I can certainly understand their concern. You know, it's a big change from what they currently have. And I appreciate Justin's comments about willing to look into that. Maybe a fence or some kind of buffer, or possibly moving it between other lots. I know typically with easements, they don't want a gap between a property line and easement. So right now it's 6 feet. Whether the path takes up that whole 6 feet, I don't know. If they could provide some kind of buffer, just for a visual buffer, some kind of sound mitigation. Other than that, I think everything else looks pretty straightforward.
I felt that it was very well put together, and I didn't have any issue with the whole thing until the neighbors came in and said what they had. However, I'm sure if they work with the developer that everything will come out, and I think that you might be a little bit more concerned than needed to be. I don't think it's going to cause as much traffic as you might think it's going to. However, I could be wrong, but I felt like the whole thing was put together very well, and I'm all for it.
And I think the application is complete. It's thought out, it's accessed, and done right, and the whole purpose of the walking path on the easement is absolutely what you would typically do. Can they change that and move it to accommodate you? Possibly. Do we force them to do that and break off the easement? Then that becomes a whole nother issue. For PC up here, I would recommend that we do the privacy, or whether it be a fence or a hedge or whatever, just to give you some separation. But at the same time, if I lived on the water and I wanted some family to come over and, spend the weekend with me, I'd want to go down to the river too. But I don't see the front houses being on the river turning around and walking back up to turn around and walk back down when they can just walk across the gravel bar. So you're not going to have all the five houses accessing that. So it's going to be a smaller number. And then it comes back to they're going to have an HOA or CCNR, so there is a recourse on that too. So for you as a neighbor, they'll have to have that. So there'll be recourses. You could, lodge a complaint. We have a problem. Something's going on. So I'm in favor of approving it with the privacy hedge/fence, however they wish to proceed. Staff? Yes, please.
James Black, Deputy Community Development Director. In your staff report, there's a few places before you make your motion. There's a few places we need some clarifications part of staff. One of them is water. Do we want to do a major or a minor well test on this property? That question needs to be, we need your help with that. Which one do we want to go with on that? Specifically,
I'm going to put forward that we go the major, and that'll help satisfy the neighbor for their water concerns.
For you guys, a major pump test is done by also measuring wells in the surrounding area, not just the ones on property. It will take a look at surrounding wells as a part of it, that test. It's more inclusive, meaning it involves a lot more people. The on-site well will have a monitor on that, and they'll start drawing it down. They'll start doing the test on it. Then they'll stick monitors on surrounding wells from neighbors who want to participate in that process. And then they can see, are the wells connected or not? That's where a major pump test comes into play. I just wanted everyone to understand what that looks like.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. Did I hear? So make sure you at least have the major or minor pump test for us as you make your recommendation there.
You got it written down.
Okay.
Page 10.
I think that was it. I believe more findings could be had on the or surrounding the septic hooking up to laterals. using the existing sewer system. There's state statutes surrounding doing that because you're taking a sewer system inside the city of Grants Pass and you're pulling it and you're going to use it on rural lands. When findings are drawn up, I wish the applicant would address those issues that come out of state statute. There's a specific ORS, and there's some bullet points in there. If you're going to do this, you need to address these items, and I was hoping the applicant can at least look at those things. It's a two-way street. It is an in-state statute that they address these items using this kind of system, and it's going to help the applicant just in case any challenges come down the road in the future on this thing.
That's an OAR?
Yeah, and I believe you have the citation on that one?
Yeah, so the OAR is 660-011-0060, and specifically it would be Section 8.
Thank you.
And I believe that's it for, just wanted to make sure we keep that in your motion.
Yeah, there was, I want to say there was one more that you had a question on, but that was what I had online, not what I have in front of me, so I don't have a reference to go back to that.
Okay.
Was it for assigning the findings of fact?
No, that's standard.
And also note, we do have conditions of approval, your Exhibit D. So in your motion, you probably want to approve those items.
19.44 Josephine County Code.
19.44 of Josephine County Code?
Yeah. Let's see if I can find what my question was. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and ask a question while we're all looking. Okay.
My question is in regard to the comment you made. You said there's a difference in the wastewater management between the state and the city. Is it the sewer system tying into it?
No, he said between the city and the rural area.
City and rural areas. Anytime that you bring a city service into a rural area, There's some state statutes that say, can you do this, can you not? On its surface, it says you can't do this, but they have an exemption process. She cited Section 8. Okay. That's the exception to that rule. We read through them. We think the applicant can address those. We believe it's in the ballpark to do that.
But they'll have to address them and satisfy you in order to proceed.
We would like them to incorporate it into those findings of fact they're going to bring to be signed by you guys, at least the chair. We would like those incorporated into those findings.
And we can request that.
Yes. Right in the motion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Inside the motion.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Chapter 1944 is variances.
Yeah, I'm looking for my specific question, but I'm not finding it.
Yeah.
So we shall move on then. It wasn't a major issue, or I would have had some star next to it that told me to chase that out. All right, hopefully that the neighbors are at least better satisfied and we'll get you some answers and get you working with them. So that being said, I would entertain a motion. No, because we closed it from the public. So, yes, they're too late to the ball game. Once it's closed, I can't take any more public input unless the Planning Commission actually asks for it. So, not that we're being rude or ignoring them, but that's why we make that statement that it was closed to the public. Okay, back to the motion. We want to make sure that in the motion that they address OAR 660-011-0060 in their findings, that OAR must be addressed. And the findings are done by the applicant. Yes, Teresa?
I make a motion that we approve the Riverwalk PUD with the conditions pointed out by staff to include OAR 660.011.0060.
Section 8.
Section 8. Also, on the condition 5, the Planning Commission wants a major pump test done.
And findings to be done by the applicant?
And findings to be done by the applicant presented to the chair before we sign.
So we have a motion with three adaptations. Roll call.
Get any other?
Commissioner Cook?
She's on Zoom.
Commissioner Mundell?
Oh, there was no second.
No, we did not have a second. Somebody want a second?
I was curious.
Hold on.
Privacy fence thing.
Oh.
Oh.
To mandate that they adjudicate that, you know, to satisfy that.
Can I put that in the conditions?
Yes, you can.
That's why I'm mentioning it.
Add it to the motion.
And that the developer work with the neighbors on a privacy fence.
Or some kind of privacy.
Or some sort of privacy barrier.
Okay, do we have a second on the motion?
I second that motion.
Okay, seconded by Jeff. Roll call.
Somebody second.
Commissioner Cook?
Yes.
Commissioner Mundell?
Yeah, yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Commissioner Gindelsberger?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. We're comfortable. You guys will get some answers and you'll be taken care of. They're pretty good people. Track record shows, not just language. So, we're done with item 3.1, matters for the Planning Commission. Anyone have anything? Development Director's report.
James Black again, Community Development. Just want a quick reminder, the next two Mondays, October 17th, we're gonna be looking at a comp plan zone change that evening. And Mr. Gindelsberger, you're not able to attend that evening, so we need to see if we can get Mr. Ockenden to attend that meeting with us, do the best we can with that. October 24th, we're gonna be looking at a text amendment. County Legal will be in here presenting that. This is the psilocybine. This is the mushroom text amendments. For the mushroom industry, we'll be looking at proposed text amendments for that. You should be getting that staff report here by the end of the week on Friday, so for that project. Also, the chair had asked that we take a look at the bylaws and kind of revamp them. County Legal has taken the reins, and they're going to be on October 24th when they're here already. They have some questions for you, kind of talk to you about those bylaws. We know that we want to talk about the number of chairs, 7, maybe going down to 5. That's an idea. That they have to help with some of the quorum issues that we have been having recently.
If we eliminate that 7 mandatory and have it, what it says in the other in the rest of the bylaws is a quorum.
Yeah.
So in one section it says 7, one section it says a quorum.
Yeah.
So they kind of conflict with each other. So we get that clarified, life would be easier.
So that's coming. We'll talk about that on October 25th or 24th. So that'll be a good night that everyone shows up so we can get some good input on what we want to do there. So
thank you.
Welcome.
Meeting adjourned.